verses 15 through 24. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father.
Years ago, when I was growing up, we didn't really have car seats. I don't know if you remember that. Most of us, where you growing up, we didn't have car seats. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, this is our car seat. Matter of fact, when I was in high school, my senior year in high school, we had just one car. And I have seven brothers and sisters. They're all younger than I am. And so to go to church or go anywhere, this is the way that it was. My dad was driving. My mom would sit next to him. I would sit next to her on the front seat. And she would hold my baby sister, who was 18 years younger than I. Okay? She was just a little baby. Then all the other six kids were in the back seat. All right. I remember one time we went to a youth rally, and we had 21 kids in the back of a station wagon. I mean, that car was just going down the road. But, you know, but then things changed, you know. And our kids came along, and car seats were required, you know, to a certain age or whatever. And so we got the car seat, you know, and they were all facing forward. And then after a certain age, you'd put a booster seat somewhere around two, maybe. And so you would do that. And now when our grandchildren came along, you had to have these car seats that they had to face backwards in, and they stayed backwards. I remember my granddaughters, they'd be sitting backwards, and their knees would be up almost to their ears because of the possibility of, I guess, internal decapitation, at least that's what I'm told, if they got in an accident. And then they were in booster seats. As a matter of fact, our granddaughter, Ember, who just turned 10, has just been out of the booster seat within the last year because of what she weighs and so forth. And so things have changed a whole lot, you know. But, you know, over the years, we found out just how dangerous it is for kids to just be kind of loosey-goosey in the car, I guess, you know. They just got in there, and if they got into an accident, they could be hurt very severely or killed. And a lot of kids, that happened to them. And so they try to make it safer and safer. And the point is that, you know, parents' love for a child is beautiful. And yet, when a child's safety is at stake, it seems that a parent's love is not always enough. Karen was telling a story when we were having donuts over there this morning about when Tristan was little. She was just two, and she's maybe not even two. And she was supposed to be in a car seat, a booster seat or whatever, you know. And I got pulled over. She wasn't in one. All right? We just got her strapped in with a seatbelt. I have no clue why we did that. We were in a hurry. I don't know. Maybe she fought us, I don't remember, but she wasn't in it. And I got stopped and pulled over and didn't get a ticket at all. Didn't even, she just, matter of fact, I was really surprised because the lady police officer just said, I'm glad to see she's got a seatbelt on.
Okay.
All right, because the car seat was right behind her. And she could see it right there. So, but you know, sometimes, you know, parents' love isn't just enough. And sometimes there has to be some other things. But do any parents needed a seatbelt law to ensure the safety of their children? You know? And so, and the same is true of our love and devotion for God and for other people. Feelings aren't enough. And so we need laws. and we need boundaries in the form of commands to help us to love God and others.
Isn't that true?
I mean, if we weren't told to love others, would we? You know? If Jesus hadn't shown us how to do that, if he hadn't provided the example for us, would we really love others? In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's true. Sometimes we think there's a right way to do things, and we find it with everything, but it only leads to death. You know, God tells us something, but we want to say, I think I know better than God. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what he says. You know, the passage that Brenda just read is taken from what Jesus said to his disciples just a short while before he was arrested and crucified. And so right before this, he told them that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Right before that passage, that's what he told them. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I'm the only way to the Father. He said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so then he goes on here in that passage that Brenda just read. He tells us that if we love him, we'll keep his commands. That we will obey his teaching. He says both things. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you will obey my teachings. And sometimes we seem to think that this is all about the negative commands that Jesus gives us. The thou shalt nots, you know? Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Because why I say things like that. Thou shalt not do this. You know, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. And, you know, that's kind of what we kind of look at. But if you remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the people there, he says, you have heard it said. And then he go on and say, but I tell you. And notice what the difference is. The things that they had heard said were the commands from the law of Moses. He says, you've heard it said. Love your neighbor. You know, I tell you to love your enemies. You see what he's doing? He's the law of Moses so often had dealt with their behaviors. Just what they were doing. But Jesus was dealing with attitudes and thoughts. In the heart. That's what he was dealing with. He wanted us to change. The commands that he gave us were more about changing our heart than changing our behavior. Now, if we change our heart, guess what? Our behavior changes. So this is why he says, if we love him, to obey his teachings. We're to obey for a different reason. We obey out of love rather than out of religious duty. In other words, instead of doing it because it's going to make us right with God, we do it because we are right with God. Because we love him, because we care about what he thinks and says and does. And so I want us to look at some things about what love, why love brings us to be obedient. The first one is this, that love brings trust in the one that we love. You think about that. When we love someone, it brings trust in the one that we love. And in this case, we love that Jesus knows what is best for us. No. We trust that. That he knows what's best. That he understands us. He gets us. I don't know if you've seen those commercials on TV. You know, Jesus gets us. He does get us. That's why he gives us these commands. To help us. They're not to stop us from having fun. They're not to put stop our individuality or whatever we think we are. It is to give us the best life possible. To make our life truly good. Yeah, meaningful, that's good. Be truly meaningful. And so we trust in him. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Notice, as you trust in him. As we trust in him, as we take for what he says and realize it's true and it's good. And he only has our best interests in mind. When we do that, guess what happens? And joy and peace come to us. I've told before about the Camp Faith Walk that we had down at Camp North Ward one time when I was a dean down there. And basically what it was, we blindfolded the kids, and one of their team leaders was supposed to walk them through an obstacle course. But then we had other people who were there to try to confuse them, to tell them to go a different way, trying to get them to go off the course. And you know, we expected, well, we thought, you know, because we did this later in the week, we thought the kids would understand and know their leader's voice. And they would trust them, that they would be the one who would take them around the way. But you know what we found out? There were a lot of kids who listened to the loudest voice. The one was right there screaming at them and stuff. They listened to that voice, and they went off course. Some of them were 100 yards away from where they should have been, because the person just led them right off the way. They didn't trust. They trusted a voice that wasn't the voice of their leader. You see, the same thing is true with us. If we don't trust God, we're going to not have peace. We're not going to have joy. We're not going to have all those good things that he wants us to have, because we have wandered off into a place we don't want to be. Whether it's just, as it says, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what we're going to go off into where the devil wants us to be. And so we can listen to all the loud voices around us, all the things that people say. We can listen to the world. But if we really trust in Jesus, if we really trust him for our salvation, if we really trust that he loves us, that he cares enough about us to only do that which is right for us, then we'll be obedient and we'll obey. Because we know he's trustworthy. And so we love brings trust in the one that we love. But then also love brings the desire to please the one that we love. Isn't that true? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 10, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and finds out what pleases the Lord." If we are God's children, we want to find out what pleases him. Why? Because we love him. Now sometimes, and I emphasize sometimes, I pick up my shoes, which I've taken off in the living room, all right? I have a tendency to get home and I kick off my shoes and put my feet up and I just leave them laying there on the floor. And sometimes I just leave them there. Well, all the time I leave them there. All right. There have been times when we have called the living room my shoe closet, because I'll have four or five pairs of shoes out there. You know, just all depending. But that's what I do. But you know what? Sometimes, and again, I emphasize that sometimes, I'll go and pick them up. I take them into the bedroom where we have a shoe rack, and I put them on the shoe rack. Now, you know why I do that? It's not me. If it was me, I'd just leave them laying there. All right? If it wasn't, but Karen, she likes it when I put my shoes on. So she doesn't trip over them. You know, or just because it doesn't look, you know, walk straight over them. I don't know if they stink or not, but anyhow, she. But the thing is, I do it because it's what she wants. She's not making me. You know, she doesn't get out of a broom and chase me and say, pick up her shoes.
She ought to.
You know, she didn't do any of that stuff. She used to ask me sometimes very quietly. And so now I try to, if I see him laying there, I think, I need to take those in. And I do it because I want to please her. And I want to please her. And that's how it should be with us with God. Why do we obey him? Because we want to please him. We want to do what he wants us to do. We want to do his desires. And again, it's not always about those things that we're not supposed to do. There's a lot more that he wants us to do. Like loving our neighbor. Like loving our enemy. Like encouraging others. Things like that. Helping the needy. Being there for one another in times of stress and struggle. That's what he wants. And we do that because he wants it. And we love him. And he has done the same thing for us. He's given us not what we desire necessarily, but what we need. He's provided for that for us through Jesus. And so we love him. And so love brings that desire to please the one that we love. And then love brings the willingness to serve the one that we love.
What happened?
To serve him. I don't think they'll mind me saying this, but yesterday we went up to the hospital to see Mutt Jefferson. And when we got there, we started to go in, and Mutt needed to go to the bathroom. Oh, I guess I should tell you, Mutt's back in the hospital with the mother. Okay. So, but anyhow, we started to go in, but Mutt needed to go to the bathroom, so we went back outside. His grandson, Trev, was there. And Trev helped get him up and take him to the bathroom and helped get him back to his bed. Now, Trev could very easily said, well, there's a nurse. She's supposed to do that. Call a nurse in here. Get her to do this. But no, he didn't. He got up and he did what his grandfather needed. Why? Because he loves him. Because he loves his grandfather. And so, when God calls us to serve, we need to do it. And you know when he calls us to serve? Every day. He calls us to serve when we see somebody who is hungry, somebody who's thirsty, when somebody who needs clothes, when somebody's sick, somebody's in jail. He calls us to do it for those people. Remember why he said it? He says, even as you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it unto me. So why do we serve others? Why do we, are we kind to people? Why do we give them, help them in their time of need? Because it's not them that we're helping. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. When we love him, we want to serve him. And we do that by helping one another. I mean, what does God need? Nothing. What does Jesus need? Nothing. And yet, when we serve his people, his children, those that he loves, which is who? Everybody. Well, thank God, so loved the world. And yes, sadly, like Mike was talking about today, there's a lot of people who aren't going to get to heaven because they choose to refuse who he is and what he's done for them. But he still did it for them. We were looking at it in Sunday school today and it said that Jesus did it to atone for all the sins of all the world. Everyone. Jesus did it for every single person who's alive. Knowing that a lot were going to turn their back on him and pay no attention to who he is. We see that today. You know, there are people who could care less about Jesus. They mock him. They make fun of him. They make fun of his people. And yet Jesus died for them just as much as he did you and me. And here's the thing. He loves them. He loves them just as much as he does you and me. He doesn't want them to go home. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's what God wants. He wants everybody to come to repentance. And how is that going to happen? By us doing the serving. by us serving Him, by sharing what He has done for us, and showing them the kindness, the love of Jesus. And in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about how if we say that we know Jesus, we have to walk like He did. That doesn't mean, you know, we have to have whatever gait He had, you know, we have to follow that, you know, if He had a limp or anything, we aren't supposed to do that. What it means is to live like Him. And when you look at Jesus in the New Testament, as you go through the Gospels, it's not about what He didn't do. That's not what we read about. Yeah, He was sinless. He didn't commit any of those sins. But what we read about is how He loved people, how He served people, how He was there for them. And that's what He calls us to do, the same exact thing. And so if we love Him, if we love Him, we're going to be obedient. We are going to be obedient to Him. We're going to be obedient for lots of reasons, but we are going to serve. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." He came not to be served, but to serve. In John 12:26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And then Romans 7:5-6 says, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." We're no longer under that old law. We're in a new law. And basically the law is this. Two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And to love one another as I have loved you. That's the law, folks. That's what we're supposed to do. And so all of these things that we just talked about explain why Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Because if we love him, we'll trust him. If we love him, we desire to please him. If we love him, we want to serve him. And by serving him, we serve one another. And so, obedience. It's not to make us right with God. It's because we are already right. So hopefully remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence this morning, that we are right here with you and you are here with us. And may you work in us, Father. May you continue transforming us so that we become more and more like you. May we learn to love you as you have loved us. May we learn to love one another as you have loved us. May we be obedient, Father, because we love you. And we want to trust you. We want to do what you desire. And we want to serve you. So remind us of those things, Father. May we realize obedience isn't a chore, but it's an act of love. So thank you, Father, for being with us today. Remind us of that each day as we go along, that obedience just brings us closer and closer to you. In your Son Jesus' name, I would pray. Amen. Our song commitment is going to be "Trust and Obey." And I don't think I have to say too much about why we're singing this one. But that's what it is. It's, do we trust God enough to obey Him? Do we really trust God? So let's stand and let's sing. Amen.